I'm a grandma today, and I've got it all written down. I hope I can read it. I've got to give an 8-minute talk on being a grandmother. It shouldn't be very hard, but this 8 minutes is either going to go like the world, so I'll think it was 20 minutes. Now, grandmas come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? But they all have to have certain qualities, such as love and kindness and a sense of humour and gentleness. You'll all think that too. And grandmas, our grandies, need to be loved. We've got plenty of them. They need to be loved all the time. Now, that doesn't mean we go out and buy the biggest and most expensive toy in the shop. That's not going to make them good and loved. Though, I must say, I seem to think that they get some pretty big and awesome toys without grandma. Now, I've been a grandma for 23 years, and I love it. And I have 3 grown-up grandchildren, and they're not short of a real comfort and joy to me. They've been wonderful children. And by God's grace, they have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my ultimate joy, to see that. And then I have 2 little ones, Kelsley, who is 6, and Georgia Rose, and she's 3. And they're precious. And they keep me young. Now, I'm Grandma Joan at the playgroup, along with a lot of other grandmas who come, and it's somehow a real special task. We have a lovely time together. And it's both a privilege to be a grandmother and a responsibility, really, toward our younger generation, because by the time we're a grandma, you have gained a lot of knowledge from experience, and some worldly wisdom, by the way, but the wisdom we really need comes from God. And how do we get it? James tells us we just have to ask. And so we can ask for wisdom and be sure of having our wisdom. So even the youngest grandmother can have wisdom at the time they need it. Now, today things have to be so highly organised, I seem to think. We have kindergartens and preschools, playgroups and creches. Whatever happened to our saucepan cabinet? My girls were brought up on saucepan lids on the kitchen floor. No wonder they like making so much noise now, eh? Never mind. The picture comes to mind of a little girl standing on the side of a road. She's on the curb and she wants to cross. But she is, the traffic's rushing by, and presently a big man comes and stands beside her. She looks up. Why, it's her father. And he puts out his hand, and she puts up her little hand straight into his. And away they go, straight across the road. She doesn't even have to look. All the fear is gone because she's got her hand in his. Isn't that a lovely feeling? I often put my hand, as it were, in the hand of my Lord, and then I can go. It's wonderful, isn't it? And that, the hand seemed to me to be a real feeling of trust and faith, isn't it? Confidence. And they're wonderful instruments for a service to the Lord too, our hands. Now, most children like singing. And our Georgia Rose, she loves it. And she's only 3, but she can sing. Now, my girls, when they were young, I taught them Jesus Loves Me, as I know, and the best book to read is the Bible. But they don't sing that so much these days. No, they do, but they go for deeper things. And I have a bit of a problem. When she was only a bit younger, about 2, she used to sing, Hallelujah to the King, Hallelujah to the King. And then there was a couple more little lines that I didn't know, and then it was, Praise and worship him. And then Kelsey would say, Georgie, it's talk to him, listen to him. And then praise, she didn't care, she kept going on, and she'd get those words in too. But she used to sing. Now she sings one that says, and I used to get just little bits of these words, Jesus, lover of my soul, says, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, you've set my feet upon the rock. I could get the miry clay bit, and now I know, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. And those 2 lines would come in so often, I will worship you to the very end. And I used to just little prayer and go up, and I'd say, Lord, I hope that's how it'll be. She just loves to sing, but they don't just sing Jesus loves me now. They go for deeper things, don't they? All the ones that I don't know. Never mind. Now, children don't always like to hear baby stories. They like to be told about giants and castles and something big to stretch their little minds. So that's our chance, Grandma. We tell them about God. Our God who's so big and so great and so mighty. He can do anything. Yes. And then, then about the bright blue sky above, yes. And then the little ones like mine who've just lost their grandfather, well, death comes into the picture, and that has to be explained. Why Gramps isn't still around? And so we have that opportunity of explaining to our little ones about the love of God. So we have a responsibility to our children, laid on our shoulders, to be careful what we say and do, don't we, Grandma? Now, in Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, was where I found about grandmother. And there it's a lovely record of grandmother. Paul is writing to Timothy about the unfeigned faith of Timothy's grandmother Lois. Also in his mother Eunice, and now also in Timothy. What a lovely picture, isn't it? I have a lovely picture of it at home in the big old Bible I'd love to have brought. And it had the mother sitting down, and the grandmother standing, and the little boy standing at her knee, and they had the scroll open. They didn't have the Bible, and there they were. Oh, it was a lovely picture. Never mind. So here she is. Now, there's not much written about them. Not very much. Just this one verse which says about them that they had unfeigned faith. No pretense. Genuine. Genuine faith. And they could hand it down to their children. That's wonderful, isn't it? And Grandma, we can do it. Absolute confidence in God and his power and wisdom. That's what we have. And think of it. Our name's in the book. Grandmother, written there. We're honoured. And I remember we used to sing, the Saviour knows my name. He knows my very name. What a wonder to know, mid the myriads below, that the Saviour knows my name. Isn't that lovely? And today, if there's anyone here that's not a grandma, well, you can have these same graces too. There are grandmas who are not grandmas. I have two beautiful sisters, and they were just wonderful grandmas to my little children. And even though they were their aunties, you can still be a grandma. Now, I just cut this little picture out of it was called A Weekly Thought, and it says, you're not just a number computers can trace. Christ knows your need, your name and your face. Now, isn't that nice? Now, there's a piece here I've got. I would like to read just parts of it. It's called Parent to Child, but it's got a lot of things in it. For instance, I can teach you right from wrong, but I cannot always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you beautiful inside. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can advise you about friends, but I cannot choose them for you. I can warn you about drugs, but I can't prevent you from using them. I can tell you lofty goals, but I can't achieve them for you. I can warn you about sins, but I cannot make your morals. I can love you as a child, but I cannot place you in God's family. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make Jesus your Lord. And I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. We can't do that. But we have so many opportunities that we can build into the lives of our grandchildren. And I tell you what, I think I'd be very happy if it could be said of me at the end of my days that I had unfeigned faith. Thank you.
Now, the rest of our testimony time is as good as the first half. It'll be great, won't it? Alice Hewlin is a single woman. She's going to speak to us in a moment. Laurel Penfold will tell us how Christian women can reach out into the community, and Margaret Crowther is a wife and mother whose home has been open to many people. So we'll start off with Alice. Thank you.
This is my sister Elaine. She's here to pick me up when my legs crumble underneath me. Not really, she's going to help me with a couple of visuals in a little while. Originally, I was asked to do this session with a friend. I found out just before the session that because of a few things she's unable to do it. But I decided, we're going to share it because we're both so nervous, but I decided it was important enough for me to still try to share with you. So I hope you'll bear with me. Thinking of the family and where I fit in, I'm firstly a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm an auntie, I'm a cousin, and through those relationships I've had a very special life. My cousins, my nieces and nephews have been very special to me because I haven't had children. They've become like my family, to the point where my niece, Elaine's daughter, asked me to be her bridesmaid early this year. How many of you at 54 have been a bridesmaid? That was like a very special, lovely privilege. As we're singles, growing into singlehood, I guess, in my 20s I had a lot of struggles. I always wanted to get married. I wanted to marry a tall, dark and handsome gentleman. But the time just kept going on and my friends and sisters were getting married. And people used to say to me, when is it your turn? You'll be next, don't worry. A man will come along for you. And it used to hurt. Just want to encourage you ladies, try not to say those sorts of things to single girls. Just think of something encouraging to say. So people gave the impression that because you're not married, you're not quite a whole person. You're not complete. Because you're not married, you don't have that man in your life. Well, let me assure you, you can be complete without a man in your life. I have had to deal with that and many other problems too. When I was 27, I'd been through a terrible 2 years struggling with all of this, but I believe God spoke to me then and he said to me, I want you to stay single. And I just wasn't happy with that. No, God, I don't want to stay single. But it came back to me. All he wanted was for me to be actually willing to stay single. He wasn't saying, I want you single for the rest of your life necessarily, but I had to be willing to stay that way if that's what he wanted. Once I came to grips with that, things just fell in place for me. It hasn't been easy. There have been struggles and there have been joys, but God has been able to help me deal with them. I still do have difficulties, like I guess we all do, and again I've had to learn to trust God and I'm still learning that. It's a big lesson to learn. The point now is, and I'd like to tell you that some of this is what I've shared with my friends, so it's sort of from both of us, that we enjoy the freedom of being single. We have the flexibility to go and help people at a moment's notice. We can sort of go where we like, when we like, with whom we like. Different things that we wouldn't be able to do if we were married with a family. It's a different kind of life. What I do like, though, is about the flexibility of it. There are some things that aren't really easy, like changing light globes or fixing fuses or killing spiders and cockroaches. This is when you live on your own. But I do love having my home like I have it. I like to more or less do my own thing. I can eat when I like, what I like. And I love leaving my electric blanket on when I'm cold. Or I can turn it off if I get too hot. And the best part of all for me is to leave the washing up if I don't want to do it. People who are married, sometimes I've found over the years, really don't understand singles. Now, I say that kindly, but there are many things about singleness that would take hours to share with you. But marrieds ask us, why aren't we married? They ask, how can you live alone? How can you live a single life? Well, there's no pat answer to that. It's a very involved question, very involved questions to answer. But I guess the quick, because of time, short answer is to say, for me, that God has chosen me to be single, for the moment anyway. And he can help me stay single. I don't know how I'd manage if I wasn't a Christian. If I didn't have the Lord to help me, I'm sure those who aren't Christians must really struggle, because it can be difficult. In Isaiah, in chapter 54, it says, "For your Maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name." And I've put together an acrostic with the word husband. Now, God is my husband, and he meets all my needs. Now, I can say that genuinely and truthfully. Every need I have, and you can list a whole lot of needs, God can meet them. And as a person who's been chosen to stay single, I look on God as my husband. And I feel too, you married folk who've been chosen to be married might find these helpful too. If you'd like to come up later, I've got scripture verses to go along with them. H for helper. God is my helper. U for upholder, as in supporter. S for security. God is my security. That's a big thing these days, isn't it, with people. We need to be secure. I'm secure in Jesus Christ. B for benefactor. And a benefactor is one who does good for others. I feel a husband should do good to others. His wife and children first, then to others. Associate, as in partner, friend and companion. N for nurturer. An encourager, one who nourishes and cares. D for defender. God is my protector and my shield. And overall, that is love. The agape love that is God's love. God loves me, and God gives that love to us to love others. Because of the Lord's place in our lives, we singles don't feel disadvantaged. In fact, personally, I feel complete in Jesus. We all have the choice of becoming a bitter old maid, or a young bitter maid, or of being a useful instrument for God. I prayed a long time ago, probably in those years after I was 27, that God would keep me from becoming a bitter old maid. And I prayed that he would make me a gracious lady, especially as I grew older. I'm growing older, and he's still working hard on the gracious bit. And I know that if we let God work in our lives, whether we're married or single, that he will give us a fulfilling and meaningful life. Especially as a single, I can say he has given me a very full and meaningful life. Because of time, I've only been able to just touch on the surface. It would take a lot longer. There are disadvantages to being single, but there are many, many more advantages of being a single woman in the family in 1994. And I'd just like to finish off with a verse. Actually, I'd like Stephen to show you. I've done acrostic for family as well. I'm into acrostics. I like family. F for friendship. I haven't got verses for these. I didn't have really time to seek them out. A for acceptance. M for membership. I for intimacy. L for love. And Y for yoke, as in united together. I'd like to just share a couple of verses. I have one written down here, but I'd also like to share after that, Timbal. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, married or single. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. I hope I'm not going over time, but I just thought of something else. The two last choruses we sang before that last one, many of the words in those things were in my talk, and it was confirmation to me that I should get up here and speak. I have two life verses. I was challenged about having a life verse several years ago. One is Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, that I may know Christ. The other one is 2 Peter 3:18, that I may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.